Episode number 279.
And so if a belief system is nothing more than a reinforced pattern in the brain, somebody who's thinking should be asking themselves this question. Is it possible for me to deactivate a limiting belief and create and reinforce a new belief that then would drive new behaviors, new perspectives?
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hoff, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hoff. Folks, you know your boy's fired up. I'm ready to feed you with knowledge, advice, and energy. But today, I think you're going to want to work a little bit more and pound the gym, the neuro gym of your brain, because it's so incredibly powerful, and we're going to get into that. I'm so pumped to bring you our featured guest, folks, John Assaraf. John, are you ready to be real?
Let's rock and roll, Travis. Ready to be real.
Let's go, folks. Let's go. And John is a man that empowers the mind, and really one mind at a time, folks. It's all about getting your mind right at the end of the day, and especially going through what we're going through right now with this Rona and all these different things we're being thrown, fires now in California, can't go outside because of the air quality. The point is, you can't let excuses hold you back. And so achieving your goals faster and easier before using neuroscience, folks. This is an actual science, and he has been featured on places like Larry King Live, Anderson Cooper, Ellen DeGeneres Show, as well as his best-selling book, Inner Size, which is the new science, folks, of unlocking the brain's hidden power, is going to help you basically recognize where you're lacking, where you can basically, where are the emotional and mental blocks, and what you can do to get and see your greatest potential, man. So I'm excited to have you on the show today. I think this is such a relevant message right now, sir. And how's your day going, first off?
It's early here in San Diego.
Yes, sir.
It's awesome, and there's so much opportunity. I love it.
So take me back into your journey of exploring the brain, because we always hear the cliche, right, that we only are using like 2% of our brain, you know, when I was a kid, I'd hear that, I'd be like, how do I get more, you know? And the things that maybe challenge us, and maybe people that are listening today have never even thought about that, but the point is, the brain is pretty powerful, but it's not powerful unless you work it, right? And so tell us a little about your journey and fascinations with the brain, I guess, and to the business especially then.
Sure. So first, let's bust the myth. We actually use 100% of our brain.
Ah.
We don't use 100% of its potential, but we currently use 100% of the patterns and the conditioning that we have become accustomed to. Gotcha. We'll come back to that. I was fascinated with behavior when I was a lot younger, specifically because I was getting into trouble with the law. I was doing illegal things like selling drugs and doing drugs and breaking entries. And everybody kept telling me, you know, why are you doing that? You have so much potential. You're a nice kid.
Right.
And I said, well, I don't know why I'm doing it. I just want to have some money in my pocket. I want to live a good life. And they, a couple of my a friend said, well, you don't have to do this crap in order to have a great life. You just have to use your brain better.
Right.
And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean, use my brain better? So that was kind of like the beginning stages of, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old.
Right.
And I was fortunate when I was 19, my brother, who knew I was getting into a lot of trouble, wanted to help me. And he invited me to come and have lunch with him and this gentleman. And I had to take the train 350 miles away from where I live, from Montreal.
Oh, wow.
To Toronto, Canada for lunch.
Wow.
So I took the train on a Friday morning, met this man for lunch at 12 o'clock on a Friday. He looks at me, says, why are you doing all these, you know, bad things? I said, I don't know. I just like, you know, want to fit in. I don't have a really good job. I'm making $1.65 at the time in a shipping department. This is 40 years ago.
Right.
And he says, I don't have my own car. I don't have my own apartment. Still live at home with my parents. And I just want to have a little bit of money to have some fun.
Right.
And so he said to me, he says, like, what are some of your vision and your goals for your life?
Mm.
And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, like, where do you want to end up in 10 years or 20 years? I said, I don't know. All I know is I want to get a good job now. And I want to have enough money to move out of my parents' house and get my own car. That's like my only goals.
Right.
He said, listen, you've got so much more potential than that. He says, fill out this document. He handed me this goal-setting guide. Now, I want to put this into perspective. I was 19 years old, left high school grade 11, failed English and math, and I didn't think I would amount to much. And all the teachers and the evidence around me pointed to that being the truth. Mm. And here's this man asking me, you know, to fill out this document. The first question on this document was, at what age do you want to retire? I'm 19. What do you mean retire? It's kind of like, at what age do you want to have a real job?
Right.
How much net income and net worth do you want to have? Mm. I didn't even know what that meant.
Right.
What kind of car do you want to drive? I wrote a Mercedes. What kind of travel do you want to do? I said, first class all the way. I wrote down this stuff.
Right.
And he looked at this document and he said, I'm going to ask you one question. And the answer to this question will determine whether you achieve every one of these things or you don't. And by the way, I wrote down that I want to retire at age 45 with $3 million.
Bam!
Well, 26 years later. And so he looks at this document. He says, hey, this is actually pretty good. Where'd you get some of these ideas? And I said, well, there's a TV show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and I want to live a life like that. And he goes, great, answer this question. And he looked at me and he said, are you interested in achieving all of these things or are you committed? And so I thought about it for, I don't know, 5, 6, 10 seconds. And I asked him, I said, Mr. Brown, what's the difference? And he said, son, he said, if you're interested, you'll come up with all the stories and reasons and excuses why you can't. You'll allow your old conditioning, the fact that you left high school at grade 11, the fact that you failed, the fact that your father was a cab driver and your mother was this and you had this trauma or that trauma as a kid. You'll allow all of that to drive your behaviors and what you expect and what you achieve in your life. He said, however, if you're committed, you will let go of all the stories, the reasons, the excuses that you have. You'll develop the beliefs you need to achieve those goals. You'll develop the knowledge and the skills to achieve those goals. And you will become the person capable of achieving those goals. And he said, because every one of those goals is achievable and other people have done it. So are you interested or are you committed? And so I hesitated for a little bit. I said, I'm committed. And then he reached out his hand and he said, in that case, I will be your mentor. Wow. And I said, wow, great. What's a mentor? I didn't know.
Yeah, you were just being the truth. I was green.
I was like, honestly, a mentor? I don't know what a mentor is. Well, he says, I've achieved all those goals. Wow. I like to help young people who don't know how to achieve them. And if you're committed, which you just said you are, then I will coach you. I will mentor you on what to do or not do.
Wow.
That moment, one question, one answer, one lunch, my life changed. Amazing. And then he put me on a path to upgrading my mindset, upgrading my skill set, upgrading my action set so that they matched the vision and goals that I wrote down on that piece of paper that came out of my ass that I didn't know anything about. That was the beginning of my life's transition.
Wow. That's amazing.
40 years ago.
40 years. And it's been a grind ever since, right? So that's the key thing is you're committed like you are right now on your boys' podcast and giving your story and providing value, like you say on your LinkedIn cover, one mind at a time, because that's what this is all about. Is if I can provide one person and take an action because you came on the show, we've gotten better. And if that person helps another person, they've gotten better. And thinking that way, it's not a numbers game on many things in life. A lot of us can't handle 100 customers if they called you right now. Like if 100 people, I got to call your phone right this second, a lot of people don't have the inbound capacity to even handle all that. Now, some do. Amazon does, right? There's certain businesses that do, but some don't. I mean, I could send you 100 leads right now if they call you all right this fast minute. So that's the whole point I've always told about social media or email or digital or anything, folks, is always think about when you're creating content, when you're putting out content, when you're, you know, maybe you're getting frustrated because, oh shit, I didn't get a 5 million views on this one. Okay, who cares? Put another one out. Because it's all about that someone saw value in that. That's someone viewed that. And some content's not going to always hit, you know? Some content's not going to always hit. It's just nature of anything. When you create stuff, you create a business, sometimes it takes off, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does, and then you find, oh, this is a really great business, you know? And then sometimes you find that people are, right now, unfortunately, pouring cash into a hole because this business is never going to come back. And so, you know, you're putting money into something that maybe never changes because we've changed. We've Zoomified many industries. And so, you know, that's the crazy thing about business is that no matter big or small, But the most important thing that I think you said that hits it on the head for me, my man, and anyone that's listening today needs to remind themselves of this, is commitment. Because when you're not committed to the things that you want, it's easy to just say, oh, I have Netflix that got me up there. Oh, I got busy making lunch and this and that. And I got busy doing this. When you're not committed to anything you want to do, fitness, body, mind, anything, podcast, you want to create a show, you want to do anything, you got to do it still, no matter what. And that's what you get to the goal by committing yourself and working at it and progressing. And some blessings will come along your way from just being dedicated. And then I think the very much more interesting question to me, my man, and I know that everyone at different levels hits this, is hitting our upper limits. You know, there's many books about it. I was reading a recent book about it. And you talk about it throughout your website and things like that. Is, you know, sometimes we do have, or we're hitting limits to ourselves of what we even believe we deserve. So we don't even write abundant goals. Hey, you know, I just want to drive a Toyota Camry. You're not driving a Rolls Royce. You know what I mean? But that's still a goal for someone that doesn't have a car, right? But that's not the most elaborate car, right? It's a dependable car, but we don't even believe we deserve a Ferrari, for instance. So we will never even put it into our existence because we have hit our upper limit. And that's the thing that I think that everyone, maybe even had success. You've seen it happen with like guys like Tiger Woods on huge success. And the next thing you know, the guy's personal life, and it's kind of unraveling. Now he's grinding back. I love Tiger. I love it. He's got an autograph right there. Tiger, baby, my boy. But still, the point is we all maybe hit upper limits no matter where we're at. And so is there something to that too in the mind when we feel like we've gotten to a certain place and we're kind of just in the routine and then we haven't set ourselves even new goals maybe, even if we've hit some of those?
Sure. If you think about when we were we born with any beliefs about what we could or couldn't achieve? No.
Right.
Were we born with any habits? No. Were we born with any perspectives? No. Were we born with a self-image of what we're worth, whether we're smart enough or good enough or worthy enough? No.
Right.
And so the question then becomes, how did we become conditioned to believe what we believe? Right. And the answer is through our parents, our teachers, our experiences. And that really lends itself to understanding our brains just a little bit better. And if you think about our brain, you know, when we're born with unlimited potential. Mm. And we develop these beliefs, which are nothing more than neural networks or patterns in our brain that has been reinforced. Now, the way our brain works is once a pattern is reinforced, that becomes part of our comfort zone. And that then sets up what we think about, what we see, what we feel we can achieve. And so when people say you just have to get out of your comfort zone, what they're really meaning is you have to expand your belief system and your horizon of what's possible. And there's a part of our brain that, you know, we use for imagination and for thinking about, oh, it'd be so nice to have this or that. But that's not what drives our behavior long term. Our behaviors are driven by our habitual ways of thinking, our habitual emotions, and our habits. And this is in a deeper part of the brain called the striatum, which drives 95-96% of all of our behaviors. And so if somebody believes, for example, that they're too young or too old or too white or too black, if that's possible, then that is going to drive their behavior more than their imagination or their goals.
Right.
And so if a belief system is nothing more than a reinforced pattern in the brain, somebody who's thinking should be asking themselves this question. Is it possible for me to deactivate a limiting belief and create and reinforce a new belief that then would drive new behaviors, new perspectives? What if our beliefs are the lens by which we see the world? Right. And what most people don't ever learn is how to use their brain better, even though it's a trillion-dollar organism. Mm. Imagine you have the most fast, amazing, comfortable car in your driveway, but you never learned how to drive. It would be beautiful in your driveway, but if you can't ride it, enjoy it, and experience it, what good is it? Yeah. So our brain is the exact same way. It's only in the last, you know, 20 years where we have started to get the user's manual for the different networks in our brain and how to activate them or deactivate them, for the different circuits in our brain, whether it's the motivational circuit, the fear circuit, whether it's the attitude circuit. And what most people have never done, and they certainly don't teach this in school, is learn how to manage their brains better. And even that thought of, what do you mean manage my brain better? Well, you have a brain, you're not your brain. You have thoughts, you're not your thoughts. You have emotions, you're not your emotions. You take action, but you're not those actions. But the combination of those things causes your results. So if you don't like your results, don't focus on the results. Don't even focus on the behaviors. Focus on what's causing the behaviors or the lack thereof.
Right.
And there's only four things that hold people back, and you touched on one of them. One of them is limiting beliefs.
Right.
The other one is self-image, is I don't feel I'm worthy of that.
Self-image.
The other is fear, fear of failure, fear of being embarrassed, fear of being ashamed, fear of being ridiculed, fear of being judged.
Right.
And the fourth one is knowledge or skills.
Gotcha.
All four of those are readily available for us to upgrade when we understand the process. And the reason I wrote InnerSize, the new science to unlock your brain's hidden power, is just like you can exercise your body to make your quads and chest and biceps and shoulders stronger, you can InnerSize key aspects of your brain to develop more focus, more awareness, to deactivate disempowering and destructive habits and create new ones.
Mm.
And most people just don't have the process. And so I've worked with hundreds of thousands of students around the world in teaching them the InnerSize process to make it easier for them to be able to develop the belief so they can have a Ferrari, to develop the belief so they can build their million or $2 million or $5 million business, to have the belief so they can lose the weight that they want off so they can have a better physique, so that they do the InnerSizes to be able to have a great relationship instead of a shitty one.
Right.
All of it is within your grasp, but it's not within your grasp if you remain the same. Because all of your success is just outside your current conditioning and comfort zone. Or you already have it.
Got you. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But still, for anyone, even if you have it and you haven't come across something that's challenged yourself, I think there's nothing wrong with learning more. You know, I recently read Lifespan, David Sinclair. Now, I don't know much all the technology stuff about that book. It's a fascinating book about how we might not even ever have to die. And the technology that's going on right now is fascinating. Sure. But when you get into the book, you're like, I'm not necessarily a scientist, but you start to just understand certain trends overall after reading the book, and you realize, hey, this is not something I'm ever going to be an expert at, folks. I'm not going to be ever a PhD expert on this longevity, but it's very fascinating to learn. And so I think that's the thing that I think anyone needs to do. I'm definitely putting this on my Amazon or Audible if I can find it there, but Amazon for sure. Because I think this is the kind of a book you need to buy and mark up. We got a few more minutes with you, my man. Can we take you into our top 10? Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
Chicken or steak?
Vegan.
Vegan. Do you vegan burger? Any kind of favorite burger? Impossible Burger? Beyond Beef?
I like Impossible Burger. Beyond Meat just changed the recipe, so I don't like it anymore.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Laptop or smartphone?
Laptop.
Nice. Spotify or Pandora?
Pandora.
Movies?
Oh, hold on. Let me back up. Spotify.
We're going Spotify, baby. Movies or video games?
Movies.
Reading books or listening to books?
Reading.
Stocks or real estate?
Both.
Boom. Oceans or lakes?
Ocean.
Love it, man. You live by a beautiful ocean. The beautiful San Diego.
Right out the window right there.
Something special about being able to see that water, baby. There is more blue therapy, I think, is a recent book that my father was telling me about. That just being able to spend time by water, whether that's by a pool, by a river, wherever you can create water and look at it, there's something peaceful. And obviously my favorite is the ocean, because that thing is so powerful. It keeps coming day and night. You know, it never stops. And it's something special about just looking at it, because we don't know a lot about it. And
They also say, right, that that's where we came from.
Right.
So the resonance field is there. It's kind of like when you look at your mother or father. It's kind of
like the amniotic womb or something.
Right, you got it.
Like, we came from there, baby. And there's a lot we don't know. A lot of hidden gems, I think, into longevity we're going to be in there, because they talk about in that book, Lifespan, a lot of the mammals that are in the water live hundreds of years. Whales, 400 or 500 years. So that's going to be fascinating to get into. A couple more questions for you, my man. When you're looking at yourself in the mirror, why do you love being you?
Because I see God.
Boom. I love that. Absolutely. And when do you think you'll ever retire?
I've retired twice for 3 years each time. I'll never do it again.
You got bored after that at a certain point. There's something that you're keeping your mind going too. And obviously you can build, you've built a great business for yourself, a great life for yourself. You know, sometimes the exit sounds good, but then it's nothing like being in the game, baby.
Well, what happens if you happen to have a creative mind and a personality that wants to contribute and make a difference, you know, when your biggest decision is what am I going to eat today or what am I going to do to work out today or where am I going to travel today,
right,
it becomes, okay, meaningless, not meaningless, but meaningless,
right,
than contributing, giving, figuring things out and really, you know, growing and expanding and becoming all you're capable of becoming. So I'm going to work a lot less. I've got 4 more years to build my current company, myneurogym.com. And then I will exit this one as well. I've had 2 other exits before, one on NASDAQ, one publicly sold.
Congratulations,
but I still will contribute and write more books and teach and have a lot of students that I can help.
That's amazing, dude. Hey, there's something so special about that. And thank you for your soul for having that purpose in life. We need more people that are spreading love and respect. And knowing that your mind is so literally limitless, the abundance of your mind, just start learning, go through the things we talk about. Never forget, don't limit yourself. You got self-image, you got fear and skills. Those are things you all can work at. A couple more last questions. I know we got 2 more minutes with you. Do you have a skill you're working on right now?
Leadership of my team and really, you know, delegating more stuff to my team.
Yep. That's like the best entrepreneurs know how to do that. Just, they know how to find them and then they know how to delegate. I swear. It's like you look at the best entrepreneurs. They're just really good at that. Elon is one of my favorite. He's just constantly finding engineers, delegating. Go build me another rocket. Go build me a 600-mile battery. Let's go. Do you have a favorite app on your phone right now?
Favorite app on my phone is probably, you know, we just started integrating Slack with Zoom. So Slack is really, really, really good. We were using a lot of Skype and Asana. So the integration of Asana and Slack and Zoom has been a really good little tech stack for us.
It's amazing. It's amazing the tech stacks out there. If you could sit down to a vegan meal with anyone in the world, who would it be?
No idea.
That's okay.
No idea.
No idea. And last real talk thought for us. Where's the best place for people to find more about you? We gave the myneurogym.com. Find you, personally connect with you anywhere on social you like specifically?
I'm on Instagram every day. I have a Facebook fan page. I do a live training every Tuesday morning, a 30-minute live. We pick a topic. I teach. So Instagram, Facebook. I have lots of YouTube free videos, tons of them.
Yeah, but he has an epic YouTube, guys. We'll put that all in the show notes, too, so you don't have to worry about that. Folks, you've been hanging out with the incredible, the edible John Asref and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you so much for your time today, and let's keep being real. What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. Right now, more than ever, folks, we need to work on our reputation for our businesses. And get those reviews, get those positive reviews, get those positive recommendations on both on your social, but also to market on your website. And that is why you want to check out my business, folks, our software, realtimereputation.us. That's realtimereputation.us. Please check it out. It is literally the best thing that's ever happened to many of our campaigns, as that reviews bring together your social and digital campaigns. And the more positive reviews, as people are making those positive, you know, decisions, they're looking at your, you know, at your reviews. And so the more you can get, the better. And make it easy and automated with realtimereputation.us. Check us out.